You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are listening to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody doing out there, man? Yeah, it's been real good for me too, man. Everything has been really nice so far. Have you recovered from All-Star Weekend? Have you recovered from the trade deadline? Have you recovered from the Super Bowl? It seems like it's been one big whirlwind of sports, and I'm enjoying it myself, man. I can't even lie to you. I'm having a great time with it. I was glad that the trade deadline, all the trades that came through in the NBA came and happened during the week of Super Bowl. I was telling someone before that it broke up that two-week stretch of the Super Bowl, because when you have that two-week and that open period where basically the NFL is allowing guys to get healthy, when you have that stretch, you start to watch like the big networks, and you start to see them just lose their mind because they don't have any stories. So you start to just make up stuff, and that's when you get the, you know, is Joe Burrow better than Pat Mahomes? Is the Kansas City Chiefs the new dynasty? You know, you start to get some of this random stuff that you just make you scratch your head like, what? Just let these guys play ball and then we'll move forward. But congratulations again to the Kansas City Chiefs. They won the Super Bowl, and we had the trade deadlines come through where a lot of teams helped themselves, especially out west. Like, you had Kyrie Irving going to Dallas Mavericks to kick it with Luka, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. I'll get into some of those moves as we move along. And then I want to talk about the All-Star Weekend, what you liked, what you didn't like, what I saw, what I noticed, what I heard in terms of All-Star Weekend, the slam dunk contest, three-point contest, the All-Star game. I want to get into all of that. So we'll get into that, you know, a little shortly as we move along. And then here, locally in Atlanta, the Atlanta Hawks have released, fired, let go of the head coach, Nate McMillan. And I want to get into that a little bit, too. I want to talk about why I feel like he was let go. And I also want to talk about some of the possible candidates to replace Nate McMillan. So, you know, without any further ado, man, let's get into the conversation. First off, I'm going to jump in on this All-Star Weekend. I heard a lot more negative than I thought it would be. You know what I'm saying? I kind of enjoyed All-Star Weekend. I watched some of everything. I watched the celebrity game. I watched three-point contest. I watched slam dunk contest. I watched, it was the three ball or whatever it was, where you had the teams representing and they were shooting around. I didn't get a chance to see the skills competition, but I watched a lot of the stuff, and I walked away rather pleased because I understand a lot of this stuff for what it is. The three-point contest is a three-point contest. They make different variations of it every now and then. When they put in, they added in the three-point ball. It's like the logo ball now that everybody's shooting these long-distance threes. That they added that factor in, and I thought that was dope. You know, then you also have a money ball round. I think that's been around for a while. And congratulations to Damon Lillard. Dame deserved to get this. He went out, he put on a shooting exhibition, and then was still hot during the All-Star game, was still hitting half-court shots during the All-Star game and didn't fall off. So congratulations to Dame Lillard on that. So I thought the three-point contest is going to be the three-point contest no matter how you slice it, how you dice it, whatever you do to it. The slam dunk contest, for me, I've said this a long time ago, and I'm going to up the money. I used to say, offer $1 million. Offer $1 million, and you'll get the stars to come out. But now, when you have these dudes making $30, $40, $50 million a contract on a season for their contract, $1 million may not do it. You might get some guys, some of the guys that we're already getting, but you might need Sprite, Jordan, Kia, whoever it is, to come out here and place $5 million at center court. You know, I'm not saying literally $5 million, because you know, you know, trying to get nobody robbed, but place one of these big ass checks, you know, these big checks that they have out there, like on semi-pro, you know what I'm saying, with Jackie Moon. He said they won't take this big ass check, but have one of those big checks, $5 million, whether it's Nike, whether it's Jordan, whether it's Kia, whether it's Sprite, whoever the sponsor is for the slam dunk contest, $5 mil, winner take all. And I think you'll start to get more participants. You'll start to get higher name, bigger name participants. And for all intents and purposes, man, like, I want to let y'all in on a little secret. And it's probably not a secret at all, because, I mean, you could see it. We do realize that slam dunk contest was rigged, right? We can just put it out there. I'm not going to whisper it. I'm not going to kind of nudge you on the side and say, hey, man, it's rigged. No, the game was rigged. Because Mac McClung was the ringer. Lil Mac was the ringer. They brought him in to be the slam dunk champion, to make the slam dunk contest be exciting. They didn't know if he'd win, but you know, you always have a guy who's going to do some things that's going to ooh and ah the crowd. Because I heard of Mac being in the slam dunk contest before I even heard that he had signed with the Philadelphia 76ers. When he made his name saying he was going to be in the slam dunk contest, I was like, oh, that's dope. The NBA is figuring out a way to incorporate the G League. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that's dope. Because they had been doing other stuff with the G League, the Rising Stars Challenge, all that stuff. That had incorporated overtime elite guys and the G League guys and stuff like that. So I thought this was just a carryover. And when I looked up and they were like from the Philadelphia 76ers, I was like, what? That man ain't played no game with no damn 76ers. Why don't you just say whatever G League he plays for? Why don't you just say he represents them? But they brought him in. And Philly signed him to a 10-day contract. I don't know if he remains on the team for the rest of the season. It's only like 25 games left. I don't know if he'll still be there at the end of the season. But they brought him in. He represented. And he did a pretty good, he did a hell of a job. Like, he wowed the crowd, ooh and all. I think he got 50s a couple times. Dominique on that last dunk just got up and was like, hey, he got it. You know what I'm saying? Anytime you can wow a slam dunk champion like Dominique, man, whenever he get up and he's amazed, it's pretty much done. Hands over. You know what I'm saying? Hands up. It's pretty much done. Yeah, he ended it on the Whirly Bird. I called the Whirly Bird. I got a friend of mine who hit me up and was like, bro, I still don't know what the hell Mac did on that last dunk. I said, all I can do is call it the Whirly Bird, dog. That's what he did. He did the Whirly Bird, and he won. And shouts out to him. But like I said, he was a ringer. He'd been doing the same shit since high school. And so when I saw his name on the marquee, I knew what that was. You know what I'm saying? But I assumed that it was just integrating the G League into the slam dunk contest to expand the pool of participants. But in all, I was pulling for Kmart Jr. You know, I was pulling for Kenyon Martin's son. I was pulling for Kmart. You know what I'm saying? I was pulling for him. I wanted to see what he had. He came out and he did okay. You know, he had a couple dunks that he got stuck on, but it was, you know, very, very underwhelmed. Jericho Sims, you know, he kept trying to impress everybody by putting his arms in the rim. And we like, okay, dog, we get it. We know you can do it. Tried to put two of them in there, but he had to pull on the net. Try to get up in the, you know. So, yeah, it wasn't that. He was okay. And then Trey Murphy came, and he did a hell of a job. I think if the ringer ain't in there, Trey Murphy's definitely the hands-down winner. But he had the hardest dunk of the night, if you ask me. I think he went between his legs and threw himself an alley-oop, but it didn't hit the floor. It didn't hit the glass. He caught it midair and still windmilled. Man, I mean, you got to watch it. That, if you haven't seen it, it was dope. If all you've seen is Lil Mac doing his thing on YouTube or on social media, if all you've seen is a slam dunk contest with Matt McClung, you're doing yourself a disservice. Go out there, watch the whole thing. I'm pretty sure YouTube has like every slam dunk compressed into a 5-minute video. But yeah, I don't know if Mac is on the team at the end of this season with the Philadelphia 76ers, but congratulations to him. I'm sure this was a dope moment in his life. And then after that, he goes out to the All-Star game and introduces Post Malone. Hey man, I'll save my comments for Post Malone for another show. But that carries us over to Sunday, where I find it interesting, and I think it's a hell of a concept. I don't know who came up with it, that you pick your team. You pick your team. They credit LeBron James with saying, we're putting it on TV. And you pick your team, and we can watch the guys kind of sit there. Personally, I don't know if I like watching the players sit there behind them. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a little weird when you're sitting there watching the guy. And I'm sure most of these guys don't really care one way or the other where they get picked. Most of them just don't want to be picked last. You know, so, but I do think it's a dope concept. I think it's an idea. You get a chance to see, like, everybody talks about Le GM with LeBron James. Everybody talks about Le GM, but I think it's a dope idea to see how his mind works and how he constructs a team. Same with Giannis Antetokounmpo when he comes in and he has this thick-ass book of prospects and still picks Ja Morant with the reserves. But neither here nor there. But it's interesting to see how a player's mind works, because we all know, as if you're playing NBA 2K, if you are playing fantasy basketball, if you're just talking trash out here with your boys, we all know how we would construct a team. But it's interesting to see if the players think the same as how we think when we're putting together a team. I need a big, I need a point guard, I need a stretch forward. No, I want my forward to be a big rebounder, or I need a shooter. Whatever it is, we know how we like to put our teams together, so it's interesting to see if they do the same. I'm always intrigued by taking a peek inside of the machine. But I thought it was dope, but then you had coaches come out calling it a glorified layup line, and people coming out talking about the game was trash, it wasn't competitive. You got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander saying, oh, if you want the game to be more competitive, put up more bread. And part of that is true. Like, I think you've tinkered with the game so much that this generation growing up doesn't take it as serious, because you've done so much playing around with it. You know what I'm saying? And so they didn't see the games where it was Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, and these guys would put on a show, but then at the same time, the fangs would come out because they want to win. So they didn't see that. They don't come up in that environment. So to them, this is just like what they would do at an AAU tournament. Somebody throws a bunch of guys in the pot, and all you're really doing is showcasing yourself. You don't give a shit whether you win or not. You just want the fans to see, I can ball. You want the scouts to see, I can ball. So sometimes, some people use this as a way to click up and get together with teammates. And so you look together, you look at some of these guys, and some of these bonds might be formed for the future teams, future of super teams. And that's what this is being used for now. And no, there's no incentive to win. I don't want to do it like baseball. I don't want to say, oh, the winning conference is going to get home court in the NBA Finals. I think that's dumb. I think you have to find another motivation, another way to get guys to focus and say, oh, I want to win this game because I want to win this game. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that would do or how you go about that, but you know, the NBA, that's on the NBA execs to figure out. But I thought it was cool to see a lot of the stars play together, who they wanted to play with. And salute to the Joker, man. Joker said, I ain't being no damn last pick. I'm coming over here to LeBron, whether you like it or not. And that was a funny moment in that situation. But overall, me personally, I felt like the All-Star Weekend was a success. I don't know how the people of Utah feel, Salt Lake City, Utah. I don't know how they feel. I don't know how the NBA feel. I know I saw a statistic to where it said that the viewership was down like 29%. You can't be happy about that. Can't be happy about that. So there has to be something that needs to be done to get the viewership up. And I think the NBA will solve that issue. I think it's coming because I can see what they're trying to do. You can see they got the wheels turning. You're getting the slam dunk contest, trying to get it back to prominence. And then you're going to have to try to do the same with the All-Star game.
Commissioner Gordon.
So just before the All-Star game, we had, you know, about a week before, like I said, in between the Super Bowl, NFL break period there, we had the trade deadline, man. And there was a lot of moving, a lot of shaking, a lot of people using these second round draft picks. I think I saw a statistic saying that there was over 71 second round draft picks being moved around and people using them as cash and collateral. And I think what that says to me personally is a lot of times that second round pick never really pans out. So we don't give a damn about that. You want a pick? Okay, cool. And then you have other guys who want that pick because what they'll do is they'll try to package up those second round picks to get players or second round picks to get a better first round pick. You know, I'll give you my first in 3 seconds for your first. And we swap places like that. So I think you see, once again, you're starting to see how a lot of these GMs are looking to build their teams and how they're looking to stack their franchises. But we all know the big move. You know, if you don't know the big move, then you've been living under a rock. We all know that Kevin Durant is now a part of the Phoenix Suns. And all I can say is damn. damn. KD will be teaming up with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and I've been seeing a lot about, is this the biggest defining stop for KD? If they don't get it, if they don't get a championship here, how is his legacy tarnished? And I'm saying to myself, damn, KD. KD got 2 rings and 2 final MVPs. He gonna be all right. If this shit don't work out, what does it say for Chris Paul? If you can't win with Devin Booker on your right, KD on your left, and DeAndre Ayton in the center, then why the hell are we calling you the point guard? The onus of this ain't on KD. Like, yes, it's odd that we've never seen a player of Kevin Durant's stature move around as much as he's doing or showing as little loyalty as he's shown. Because LeBron's moving around. LeBron Cleveland, Miami, back to Cleveland, to LA. LeBron's moving around. But KD is moving around and seemingly like he doesn't give a damn about where he plays. He just want to go play ball. Y'all playing, y'all got some good hooping going over there? I want to go play with y'all. They balling over in Golden State. Cool. I'm going to go up here. I'm going to run with these boys. Holler at Kyrie. Hey, man, let's put us a team together. I think we can play. We can get some good run going over here in Brooklyn. Cool. Bet. Shoots the deuces out in San Francisco. First thing, smoking out to Brooklyn. What's up? Doesn't work out in Brooklyn. Between him, Kyrie, and James Harden. Doesn't work out. Oh, man, he whispers in the owner's ear or the GM's ear. Hey, man, they got some good ball going on over in Phoenix, man. Listen, don't tell nobody. Just trade me to Phoenix. All right? They shake hands on it. And now we'll see. KD just want to run. He just want to run with some winners, man. He want to run with some guys that can play basketball and have a good time. I think at this point, he just wants to have a good time playing basketball. He wants it to be as stress-free as possible. And 9 times out of 10, that's with guys who can play, who can think like you. And you don't have to worry about answering a bunch of questions. Like, I don't think he was stressing about the whole Kyrie situation as much as many other people tried to put on him. He didn't seem to answer a whole lot of, but what about Kyrie? How does Kyrie make you feel? He didn't have to answer a whole lot of that. Partly because, you know, I think his demeanor, I think he put it out there early, like, hey, that's not going to happen. That ain't who I am. If you want to ask about Kyrie, you ask Kyrie. And I salute him for that, because there's a lot of chatty patties out here who want to sit down and tell you, oh, I think he need to be out here and participate with the team. And I think he need to be out here and get that shot so he can come out here and be a part of the program. And I think it was wrong for him to put out that book, whatever, or that movie, whatever. There's a lot of guys who would sit down and do that. But KD was standing up about it, and he didn't really have time for those Kyrie questions. But now that he's out west, it's going to be interesting to see. And yes, I do think that they are the number one favorite to win the West. Yes. Because of what I just told you. CP3, Book, KD, and DeAndre Ayton. What are you going to do to the team? How are you supposed to stop that? If everybody's healthy, who do you stop? You can say, okay, well, we're going to put pressure on Chris Paul, get the ball out of his hands. Okay. Now we just got the Slim Reaper over here. Now we just got KD over here who can handle the ball, who can probably feed the post to Aiden, who can work when Book is coming off the screens, who can work it out to Book. There's no stopping that. You're not putting pressure on the ball. You're not cutting the head off the snake, so to speak, by stopping Chris Paul. You're not doing it. But if you let Chris Paul go, then he can kill you just by dropping dimes. And don't be fooled. Chris Paul can still score, fellas. Let you in on that little secret. Because we don't think of Chris Paul as the scorer, but I remember Chris Paul putting up 60. You know, I remember Chris Paul killing and putting up a lot of numbers at Wake Forest and also with the Clippers whenever it was needed. You think he forgot how to shoot? So a lot of this, we're going to double KD or we're going to double Book. It's going to free up a lot of open looks for Chris Paul. And all he has to do is knock down a tray. So there may be games where Chris Paul has 33 points and like 14 assists. But it's going to ultimately be pick your poison. Pick your poison. So we know KD got added to Phoenix. I think they're the ultimate favorite to come out of the West. An interesting squad that I want to look at for the rest of the season. It's only going to be, like I said, it's only like 20-something games. But the Clippers. the Clippers are going to be fairly interesting because what they did, they traded John Wall. They traded Reggie Jackson, which are your two primary ball handlers, the two point guards. And all they did was add like combo guards. You had Eric Gordon. You had Russell Westbrook. You had Bones Highland. And then you got Mason Plumlee in there on, you know, for some extra. All they did was add scoring. You would have thought that somebody's told them that they can't score, or the statistics told them that they're in the bottom of the stats in scoring. Because when you go and you add an Eric Gordon, if Eric Gordon is coming in as your primary ball handler, then what you're going to do is you're going to ask him to change his skill set, and you're going to ask him to push the ball forward and ultimately become what Phoenix is going to basically ask for CP3. You knock down these open shots, because when they want to double on PG, when they want to double on Kawhi, we swing it over to you and you knock down those jumpers. But I don't, Reggie Jackson could have done that. But we'll see how it goes. I want to see how this, I can't imagine that Russ is the starting point guard. He's got to still embrace that role of him being the first guy off the bench. He got to be the sixth man of the year. And if I'm talking to Russ and I'm being open and honest with Russ, I'm telling him, this is your role now. Whatever you set your mind to, you've been able to accomplish. You've been able to average a triple-double. You've been able to do all of the things that you set your mind to. Now I need you to turn your focus into being the sixth man of the year. And if you can be sixth man of the year, won't happen this year, of course, because when you get switched over, basically switched locker rooms, you go from one side to the other in LA. I don't think it's going to happen that way. But if you moving forward from next season on, if you can switch your mind frame to, I'm going to be sixth man of the year. I want to win more than Lou Williams. I want to win the sixth man more than Jamal Crawford. I want to win that award more than anybody else, to where they can turn it into, later on, they might think of, it might need to be the Russell Westbrook Award. If you can do that, if you can set your focus on that, then the Clippers may be on to something. And Russ has to make that move. He has to make that decision. Because once again, if I'm sitting down and I'm talking to Russ and I'm looking directly across from him, whether I'm a coach, whether I'm a friend, whether I'm a scout, whether I'm another team's GM, whatever the position is, I'm looking at him and I'm saying, listen, you left OKC. Houston traded you. Washington traded you. The Lakers got rid of you. Now you're here on your fifth stop. Where do you go from here? There's no GM looking around at his roster thinking to himself, you know what I need? I need that damn Russell Westbrook. He can set this thing off. The reason why you're in the Clippers uniform is primarily because Paul George is vouching for you. You were bought out, and Paul George vouched for you. So you have to have that mind frame. You have to have the mental capacity to say, okay, this could be my last hurrah. If I don't make it here, where do I go next? And the answer to that is two very shitty teams. Where you go next is probably to Orlando. Where you go next, you can't go to Houston. You've already been to Houston. Charlotte, you're a Team Jordan player. Charlotte, but if I'm running Charlotte, I don't want you. Unless I lose LaMelo Ball at some point in time, but I don't want you. So that's the mentality he has to have. He has to have that this could be my final stop. This could be my last hurrah. So I need to go ahead, if I want to sign another contract, I need to play the good soldier and do what I need, what needs to be done, and play the role. Long gone are the days where you are the number one. You've been on a few teams now where they've told you, you ain't the man. Pass the damn ball. Don't shoot that shot. Get up, clap your hands, be the cheerleader. Don't get out here pouting like you're a celebrity or a star on the floor when the people didn't come to see you. People are in the stands to see Kawhi. People are in the stands to see PG-13. The people are in the stands to see whoever else it is you're playing. And if you're balling, if you get a triple-double, if you put up some numbers, if you hit a game-winning shot, which is highly unlikely, if you hit a game-winning shot, that's icing on the cake. But your name ain't at the top in big bold letters no more. You down, down, down on the list. Down, down, down on the list. But that, speaking of the Lakers added D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Roy Hachimura, Mo Bamba. They made some moves, and I don't know how that translates into. I don't know how it translates into them making the playoffs this season. Like, I think next year you got a younger base. You got D'Angelo Russell. He brought him back to the crib. And I think he could be the scorer that you need. I think if you let him go these next 20 games, you let him get into the system, you let him put up some points, you have LeBron being that secondary scorer, you kind of pace to the point where LeBron comes on and takes over at the end of the game. D'Angelo has kept, D'Lo kept you in the game, got a lead, whatever. AD, what, you know, they working together, and then you bring LeBron in to seal the deal and win the games. But they got some way to go, man. Like, I don't know if they make the playoffs this year. LeBron said this is probably going to be the most influential or the most pressurized 20 games or, you know, whatever. And I don't think it's that. I think he's just saying that these games are important because for my legacy, I don't want to be sitting out here like, yo, they keep missing the playoffs or they got to get in the play-in. So these games are the most pivotal games of my career. I don't think it's the most pivotal games of his career. I do think they're pivotal games, though. So I think that the Lakers, in my opinion, if you ask me, the Lakers will still be in that play-in game fighting to get into the playoffs. But I do believe that the addition of Mo Bamba, Roy Hachimura, and Malik Beasley, D'Lo, I believe that the next couple years are going to be better. But that's hard to say because, shit, it's the Wild Wild West out here. And you still got I haven't even got on Kyrie and Luka yet. Haven't even started on Kyrie and Luka yet. It's going to be interesting to see. Now, this is going to be a career-defining moment. You guys have all, I get into it on Twitter all the time about somebody who wants to tell me that Luka is so much better than Trey and how the Hawks messed up so damn bad because they traded away Luka. And Luka's dope. Luka's an amazing player. And I always have to stop myself because what I wind up doing is, because I'm defending the crib so hard, I wind up sounding like I'm hating on Luka. And I have to always stop and interject, Luka's dope. Don't get me wrong. I think Luka's a hell of a player. But at the same time, I always refer back to Luka's done nothing that Trey hasn't done. He may have one more All-Star appearance, but Luka's done nothing more than Trey hasn't done. So now, here that you teamed him up with Kyrie Irving, this is going to tell the story on what kind of player Luka is. Is Luka a guy who wants to win, or is Luka a guy who simply wants to be the man? Because there's a difference. There's a difference in wanting to be the man and wanting to win. Kyrie's there to help you win. Kyrie wants to win because I think Kyrie has something to prove. And if Kyrie gets that sense of you don't really want to win, I think Kyrie is going to hop back on that bus back to LA because LeBron has already told you that he really wants to team back up with Kyrie again. He said that during the All-Star picking, All-Star draft. He said it before the game, said it after the game. So I think that is going to be the determining factor of what Luka Doncic is, though. Is Luka going to be tired of Kyrie with the dribble, 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 the tricky dribbles and come out? And then is he got to catch and shoot? Or is he going to dribble the air out the ball like he's been known to do and dribble, 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 and dribble, 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 and then Kyrie be stuck with the catch and shoot? We'll see. I don't know. But if it's any indication like that last game before the All-Star break where they basically play hot potato like you shoot it, no, you shoot it, no, you shoot it, no, you shoot it, and the fucking time runs out, they got to get that together. So now you're going to have a stretch where the niceness wears off. We're trying to make the playoffs. We're trying to get in this, you know, contention. We're trying to find our spot in the wild, wild west. You got KD. You got the Lakers. You got the Clippers. You got Denver. You got a bunch of teams. You got Memphis. You got a bunch of teams who are all fighting to get to that top that Denver holds right now. You got a bunch of teams trying to get as close to the ceiling as possible, and we're all trying to win. And if you out here trying to just be Luka the Don and look at me, I can score 60, but we still lose, then we're gonna see it now. So I'm interested to see how that's going to play out. I feel like I talked about this way too long. Also, before I move away from this point, talking about people who, going back to the whole Russ thing and how he has to change his mind state. What does it say to you to be John Wall right now when they traded your ass back to Houston? You basically shit on the franchise. You told everybody how it was a trash. You didn't enjoy yourself. When you got there, James Harden was, you know, you touched down. James Harden was getting on a jet talking about he was going to Lil Baby's birthday party. I remember the party vividly because I got on here and I made the jokes about James Harden giving Lil Baby a honey bun with a bag full of $100,000. And bought him a Prada bag or some craziness because he was proud of him. All that dumb. I remember that specific party. And I chuckled when John Wall talked about like how he was going, like how he was leaving. When I'm touching down, he like, hey, you want to go? And he like, nah, I can't go. But basically that started off a Houston run that he didn't really like the experience. So you basically told everybody you didn't like being in Houston. And so the Clippers trade your ass right back to Houston. So, and you can't, I can't make this up. So, yeah, it's hilarious to me. What do you do if you get bought out by Houston? Where do you go? Where do you play ball now? Once again, you have to go to one of these trash ass places. You got to go to an Orlando. You got to go to and actually, he may not have to do that. He may not have to go to an Orlando. He may not have to go to a Charlotte. He may not have to go to one of those places. If he can convince someone that he can be used in a pinch as a ball handler, and I just want to sit here and play. He put on his good boy, schoolboy role. You know, the good guy had to say, hey, man, I just want to play for a contender. I want to get a chance to get in and just, you know, get an opportunity to fill a role so that if one of your ball handlers go down, I can step in. You know what I'm saying? If he can do that, he might be able to catch on with a team like a Miami. He might be able to catch on with a team maybe in the New York, you know what I'm saying? Something like that. Pat Bev went to Chicago, so I don't think they would pick him up. But John Wall, I don't want to make this comment, but it's very possible we may not see John Wall play NBA basketball anymore. I said it. It's very possible. But I'll move on. What I'm going to do right now, since I talked about like a lot of those, the Wild Wild West and a lot of the stuff that moved around, what I want to do is kind of go over real quick and chronicle or rank who I think is going to make it out of the East and the West. So power ranking, this will just be Commissioner Gordon's power ranking. I know what the standings look like. I know what the standings say. I know who's number one. But after this shakeup, I'm telling you who I think is number one. As if this was like the college football rankings. Follow me. In the East, I still have Milwaukee number one. I think that's a no-brainer. Giannis being healthy because he has that wrist injury. He hurt himself prior to the All-Star game. I think right before All-Star break, he got hurt, and then he wound up taking himself out. And I think it's some torn ligaments in his wrist. If he's healthy, Milwaukee is the number one. To me, number two is Boston. I think they have the 1-2 combo that's going to tell the difference. It's going to tell us what's going on. And do they miss Ime Udoka? Do they miss Ime? Is Mazzulla the guy? I mean, because I personally believe if there's a deficiency in the coaching, we're going to see it in the playoffs. So I have Boston number two. I have Philly number three. And it's tough for me to put Philly any higher than that because I know as the playoffs come in, Joel Embiid is a good playoff player, but he's not the most clutch. James Harden is looking like he's back into James Harden form, but we know when the playoff comes, he starts to shrink up a little bit. So I can't really just put them any higher than three, but I like their talent level. Number four, my dark horse in all of this, and I think I wanted to put them higher than Philly, is Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Mobley, Donovan Mitchell. I like what's going on in Cleveland. I'll just leave it at that. We'll get further into that as we get closer to the playoffs, and we'll talk about it. And then Miami, because I had to have a fifth team. I'm not really fond of Miami. But if Miami gets Kevin Love, I think that gets them more of – that gives another shooter and a more stable shooter at that. So I think there'll be a threat. You can never count out Jimmy Butler. Especially when he sets his mind. He's one of those dudes that when he sets his mind that he's going to win or he's going to do something, he'll go out and he'll do it. So, once again, in the East, I have Milwaukee 1, Boston 2, Philly 3, Cleveland at 4. I really want to put Cleveland at 3. Cleveland at 4 and Miami at 5. Out West, I already let the cat out of the bag a little bit. Like I told you, I think Phoenix is the favorite. And I think everybody thinks Phoenix is the favorite, even though it's Denver at number one seed. But I have Phoenix at number one. I have Denver at number two. I don't know how real Denver is. I like Jamal Murray. I like the Joker. I don't know. You do not give the Joker three MVPs. Jokic, he's a great player. Hell of a player. Don't want it to sound like I'm hating on him. Hell of a player. Not three-time MVP. Back to back to back. You can skip a year, whatever. I don't give a damn. No. No. Who do I give it to? I don't know. Jason Tatum. Shit, I don't know. Not Jokic. But I don't know what Denver is come playoff time. But I think they got a hell of a team, man. Michael Porter Jr. I think they got a hell of a team. And I want to see them successful. I want to see how they mix it up. You know what I'm saying? When everybody's clicking on all cylinders. When you got Porter Jr. clicking, when you got Jamal Murray clicking, and you got the Joker who's doing his thing, I think they make for some great basketball. And I think the world got a chance to see it a little bit in the bubble. But I think if they can do it outside and they can do it this season, then we'll see the superstar of the Joker emerge. I got Memphis number 3. And I put them there, and I know no one on the team will probably overhear this, but I put them there because I want them to have that pressure to be a top 3 team out west. I want to see how they'll react to it. Ja Morant said whenever, that they were good out west and they weren't worried about any teams out west. And then the blitz happened. You know what I'm saying? The storm came through. So I want to see if he still ain't worried about the west. I want to see if he feels like he's still good out west. And they need that pressure. 4, I got to put Dallas. Like, the Luka Kyrie combo to me has so much potential that I think I almost struggled with putting them ahead of Memphis. But like I said, I want that pressure on Memphis to see if they can emerge and if Ja can really be a star, a superstar in this league. And by superstar, like, I know he's a star, I know he's a celeb, but I mean like a superstar that can put the team on his back and carry them in victory. You know what I'm saying? So that Dallas number 4, and I'm still struggling, dog. I made this list and almost forgot about damn Sacramento. Sacramento is having a hell of a year. But there's nothing about the team that makes you, I mean, yeah, De'Aaron Fox, we all know who he's good. But there's nothing. Herter's out there balling. But there's nothing about Sacramento that make you be like, man, Sacramento a player. So with that, I think they're fugazi. I have them on the outside looking in of the top 5. And I'm putting the Clippers in their spot. The Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Eric Gordon. I'm putting the Clippers in the spot. So my top 5 out west is Phoenix, Denver, Memphis, Dallas, and the Clippers. So, man, we'll see how that shapes out. We'll see what happens through the rest of this season. I do find it rather odd that now we had All-Star Weekend and we only got like 20 games left. You know what I'm saying? 25 games left. It feels weird. Like, even though it was the All-Star game usually was a week ahead, it seemed like it was, you know, like it was closer to halfway. You know what I'm saying? 30-something games is better than 20-something games. But, hey, you know, this is how the new NBA and the new NFL and all these games are shaping up in the schedule. I just sit back and enjoy it. You know what I'm saying?
Commissioner Gordon.
Last but not least, before we get out of here, I want to touch on it real quick. The Atlanta Hawks on Tuesday released, fired, let go head coach Nate McMillan. And to me, while I'm not going to say Nate wasn't the problem, I'm just going to say all is not right in the world now that Nate is gone. You see what I'm saying? It's not like we like, whew, now that we got that shit out the way, let's go play some ball. That's not the case. You know, I think it was DeJounte Murray after the other day, Wednesday, in practice, basically saying, it ain't all on Nate McMillan. We've all got to look in the mirror. And yes, I think John Collins echoed those sentiments. We've all got to look in the mirror. And we've all got to be honest with ourselves on how we're playing the game. And that starts with your leader. I think this is a lot of pressure. This is going to be a lot of pressure on Trae Young, in my opinion. And it should be. A lot of this should fall on Trae Young. This is going to be your third head coach. Ultimately, this is going to be your third head coach. You're a celebrity in the league. You are a budding young superstar. The team is doing whatever you ask them to do. And you don't want the label of coach killer. You don't want that label. But you're working on it. This is your third coach. And as of right now, interim coach is Joe Prunty. He's an assistant coach. He's, you know, been very involved in day-to-day. They say he's a calm, cool, collect type of guy. But I don't know if calm, cool, and collect is what the hell this team needs. I think you need somebody to get up in some faces to make a lot of these guys uncomfortable. You need someone who's going to look them in the face and tell them the real, not somebody who's going to pat them on their ass and talk to them like they're children. It's hard to motivate millionaires. It's hard to motivate people that get paid way more than you do. That's why good coaches are hard to find. But I think Trey has to look in the mirror. DeJounte, John Collins, DeAndre, Clint, all of these guys, they have to look in the mirror and decide they want to play better. And they need to do it immediately, because if they don't decide immediately, you could be on the outside looking in of the play-in game. Not just the playoffs, the play-in game. You could be on, you could very easily find yourself like, damn, we better than them. But your record says you're not, because you lost to them. You were bullshitting when you played them and you lost to them, and it was a tie and the tie goes to them, whatever. But you have to do it immediately. The Hawks candidates are seemingly right now, I think the favorite probably is Quinn Snyder from Utah. He was, you know, Quinn was on the Hawks bench when we had Coach Bud. He was an assistant coach, but he got out to Utah and he did pretty good with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and made them playoff contenders and had them, you know, running things. And I think he's the front runner. I've heard also Bucks assistant coach Charlie Lee, Golden State Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson. And even I thought all was lost, because I, you know, if you follow me on Twitter, you follow me on Instagram, I've been saying all along, man, I wanted us to give a look to Ime Udoka. I think Ime Udoka is one of those guys who's going to come in and look you in your face and tell you, hey, man, you need to tighten the hell up. You need to show some leadership. You need to grow up. You need to mature. And I say I believe he can do that because he did it in Boston. When everybody was sitting around talking about you got to trade Jaylen Brown because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they can't play together. They can't coexist. You got to get rid of one. He got in there and he got him to the finals. You know what I'm saying? And if it hadn't have been for an incident where he, you know, was sleeping with, you know, random women around the office, he'd still be in there and he'd still be successful, because we see that we see the roots that he put down. We see the foundation that he put down is getting Missoula damn near coach of the year. So I want Ime Udoka to get a good look, because I think Ime Udoka is going to come in. He's going to look Trey, JC, he's going to look these guys in the face and say, hey, put all that bullshit aside, step up in these games, and let's go play basketball. And if you can't play basketball, then we're going to have to get you the hell up out of here. And that's what's going to have to happen. So, like I said, I think Quinn Snyder is the front runner. He's going to have his pick. And I think the reason why they fired Nate was so they can get out ahead and pitch their recruitment to Quinn and try to woo him and have him come in and feel warm and cozy and feel like it's his job to have before anybody else could at the end of the season. And if he's the coach, okay, I'm cool with that. But I personally, my choice would be Ime. I would love to be sitting here breaking some news to you saying Ime Udoka is the new Atlanta Hawks head coach. But we shall see. We shall see. And with that, man, listen, I appreciate you for tuning in. I appreciate you for talking to me, kicking it, listening to me. I'm sure at some point in time you probably said some crazy shit to your device in your headset, phone, radio, however you're listening to me, I'm pretty sure I made you be like, man, hell no. You know, and if I have, you can always tweet me at G Robinson Sports on Twitter. You can always holler at me in the comments on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N. And on TikTok, in comments in TikTok. I'm ramping it up in TikTok at the Commissioner Gordon. And on Facebook, Commissioner Gordon Robinson. You can check me out all over the place, man. Listen, I appreciate you for tuning in, sticking with me, riding with me, all of that. Until next week, I'll holler.
Commissioner Gordon.